I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Who's willing to get their hands dirty for you? 1 minute, the man in our story is a beggar, and the next minute, he's the richest man in the room. But none of it would have happened without this guy's four faithful friends who cared enough to carry him when nobody else would. Listen to Mark 2, 1 through 12. When Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven. I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." So the man got up, he took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." In first century Rome, if a baby was born paralyzed or with any sort of abnormality, they didn't have much of a future. They were often abandoned by their families and left for dead. And the Jews didn't think much of those who were different either. Even the disciples, they asked Jesus, "Since this guy over there was born blind, I mean, who sinned? Was it he or his parents?" So the paralyzed, the abnormal, the blind, the sick, were kept at a distance from regular life in this courtyard, in the temple. And it served as a barrier between the so-called normal and abnormal. You know, those who were blessed by God and those who weren't. So the paralyzed man in our story is perceived by others as a mistake. He has to beg for a living. He's got no job, no influence, no mention of any family whatsoever. And on paper, he doesn't have a whole lot to offer. So it's a big deal to find anyone who would have cared about him, be seen with him, let alone physically touch him. So these four dudes, they risk their reputation and do something totally unheard of and very socially unacceptable. They grab this paralyzed guy. They crash the party, literally. They interrupt Jesus by lowering this broken guy into the center of all the action. And what God does is he uses four godly men who aren't afraid of social rules. They're not afraid of religious expectations. They're not going to let any of it get in the way of God's business. Because a true friend is willing to carry your mat. A true friend is willing to get their hands dirty. That's a great question. Maybe the better question is, whose mat are you carrying? Jesus says if you can do two things, more than any other two things in this life, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. You know, telling someone that you love them, it's pretty simple. Just costs you a few words, maybe a smile. But carrying someone on their mat is a little more costly, isn't it? It comes pretty natural for us to look out for ourselves, to go about our merry way. We don't have to work hard at that. We're inclined to think about ourselves. But we have to work very hard, sometimes just to see others, let alone do something about what we see. Paul in Philippians, he says this. He says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Serving others is what gets me out of bed in the morning. I don't know why you get out of bed. Could be coffee. Nature calls. I don't know, whatever. But serving is what gets us out of bed in the morning. It's a big part of how and why God created us. I personally can't imagine how empty life would be if it was just all about me doing me. And we need these frequent reminders, just like this, to carry each other's mats. That's the way God designed us. Paul, again, in Galatians, he says, don't forget to bear one another's burdens. And you know when it's time to bear one another's burdens? When God tells us. You know, God's in charge of the result. We just need to be obedient. You know, imagine how vulnerable this paralyzed man may have felt being paraded through town. Hey, would you look at that poor guy? Man, he's so messed up that he has to have other people haul him around. You can almost hear it. Oh, glad I'm not that guy. You know, it's one thing to be over in the corner begging. It's a whole other thing to be carried to a rooftop and lowered into a crowd of people. Everybody's watching. Everybody sees you on your mat. But here's the truth. The only thing that separated his life from anyone else's was some severed nerves. His legs didn't work right. Okay? That's his thing. That's what made him different. But everybody has a mat, don't they? A mat can be pain, brokenness. Maybe your mat is fear, anxiety, depression. Maybe your mat is worrying about what other people think about you. Maybe your mat is what you do at night when nobody's looking. Maybe your mat is the guilt and shame you still carry from that one decision long ago. Several years ago, after some really fruitful ministry stuff, I started calling myself the pastor of disaster.
For real.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Wherever disaster went, I kind of followed. So really cool frontline ministry stuff. But it was also during the same season I was talking with another pastor, and we're just kind of having some open, honest dialogue. And I said this: after these last few years, there's nothing I can't handle. Ooh. Yeah. First of all, who says that? And then expects to get away with it, right? So I'll tell you who says that. A guy in need of some humbling. That's precisely who says that. There's nothing I can't handle. And I was serious. It came out of just right out of my mouth. And even worse, it came from right here, right in my heart. So here's your homework. Do yourself a favor. Do me a favor. Do everybody in your life a favor that cares about you. And don't ever say that. Unless you want some humbling. And you can be my guest. Go ahead. We know God's always listening, don't we? And a few months later, what followed was the deepest, darkest season of wrestling I've ever experienced. Never experienced anything like it. The Lord started stripping and tearing all of the pride and all this junk I didn't even realize I was carrying. He began to dismantle any sort of identity that I had as this super pastor of disaster. For months, it felt like years, there was pain, there was confusion, there was tears. The deepest, darkest stuff I've ever experienced. Until one day, God in his grace and his mercy, I'm sitting by myself, and deep In my heart, I heard God's quiet, still voice ask this: am I enough? Am I enough for you? If I took it all away, if I stripped it all, am I all you need? It was during this season, during this painful season, I had friends far and wide all over the place. God actually even used strangers, which is totally amazing, to help carry me on my mat all the way to the feet of Jesus. Because the truth is, sometimes we carry our friends, and sometimes our friends carry us. Like Bruce and others say around these walls, the church is really just a field hospital where the less wounded help the more wounded, and then they trade spots. It's only when we allow others to see us on our mat and then help to carry us on our mat that we can move towards healing, isn't it? I mean, if we come in here and claim to know Jesus and we're not willing to carry each other's mats, what are we doing here? James, he reminds us, he says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food, and if one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm, well fed, good luck, right? But does nothing about it, his physical needs, what good is it? And in the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. I don't see much evidence in the Bible that Jesus rushed past those in need. He had an important mission all the way to the cross. There was a timeline, there was a countdown, there was a schedule. But he always stopped and cared for those the rest of the world overlooked, didn't he? The Bible doesn't tell us how these four men came to know this paralyzed man or if they even knew this man at all. But what we do know is that there was a real relationship. These four dudes took time out of their lives, got their noses out of their smartphones, and after looking this man in the eyes, they decided to do something about what they saw. It's the same mission for us. It's the same mission. We cannot rush past others as we rush through this life. I think Jesus would say something like, if you know me and love me, you have no choice but to act like me. You can't help but act like me. That's it. That's our job. And Jesus says himself, he said, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. So as these four men carried their friend to Jesus, just imagine for a minute the conversation that happened. Man, I heard this Jesus guy is the real deal. I heard he can do the impossible. Man, wouldn't that be so cool if he could do it one more time? That'd be amazing. All we have to do is get this guy to the house in one piece. But all their excitement probably changed to now what when they got to the house. There was a crowd. The crowd had gotten so large, there was literally no room inside or out. So in football terms, these guys call an audible. They head to the roof. They do some remodeling and give the host home a new skylight, don't they? Yeah. And the question for you is, are you that desperate to get to Jesus? Are you that desperate? About a year ago, I was in the Costco parking lot before Costco opened, and it was people screeching in from all angles in their vehicles, jumping out of their vehicles, grabbing their reasonable shopping bags, almost running to the front doors, all to be first in line. It was pretty interesting. They were there to be first in line to grab a roasted chicken, right? I get it. Those are hot commodities. Those are a big deal. I love those roasted chickens. But these four friends of the paralytic They were that sort of desperate. They were roasted chicken desperate. I love those roasted chickens, by the way. So good, so good. But as I sat there and looked at all these people coming in from all these angles, I kind of thought to myself, what if we were that excited about worshiping Jesus on Sunday morning? Man, our cars kept screeching in, barely putting it in park, doing a barrel roll out of the car, you know, running to be the first in line. I can't wait to see my friends. I can't wait to see my people. I can't wait to get my worship on, right? So like the men who cut a hole in the roof and lowered down their friend, meeting Jesus doesn't happen by accident. Are we ourselves willing to do whatever it takes? And when these four men poked their heads through the hole in the roof and lowered the man down, the Bible says Jesus saw their faith, and Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." It was mission accomplished. They did it. They got this guy to the place where Jesus could say, "Yeah, you're broken. You're imperfect. But the good news is your faith has washed you clean." And the icing on the cake, not only that, Jesus says, "I'm going to give you new legs. Get up, take your mat, and go home." And the man does just that. Stands up, grabs his mat, and out he goes. And just like that, this man who spent his entire life begging, everybody has marginalized, everybody's ignored, everybody walked by him day after day, he meets Jesus, and he goes from nothing, he goes to everything. In a matter of minutes, he becomes the richest man in the room. Because when you have friends, when you have Jesus, you have everything. In the same way, before we know Jesus, we come to him broken, we come to him with nothing. There's nothing we have to do to earn his love. He loves us no matter our condition, he loves us no matter what. Even if we see ourselves as a mistake, even if others see us as a mistake, even if we feel like we're lying on our mat over in the corner, Jesus loves us. And maybe this morning, your mat feels hopeless. Maybe it feels like God doesn't care. Maybe it feels like others don't see you. Take a look around for a minute. Who do you have? Who do you have here? Us. Me. You. People help carry your mat. Or maybe this morning, the Lord is asking you to be on the lookout for the broken. Maybe God is asking you to be faithful and courageous and grab someone and help carry them all the way to the feet of Jesus. We all need friends like those four guys, right? We all need to be friends like those four guys. Carrying someone on their mat is not easy. It might mean breaking some social norms or breaking down the expectations of others. It might mean being uncomfortable. It might mean breaking a sweat. It might mean tearing a hole in someone's roof or whatever it takes. But I hope that we are people who are desperate to do whatever it takes to bring people to Jesus. That's our job. So get out there. Go get your hands dirty. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and lay our mats before you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you inspire us to see others and empower us to do something about what we see. And Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for receiving us just as we are on our mat and all. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you and make his face shine upon you.